Thanks for listening to the Vertical Student Ministries podcast. We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you hear.
Hey guys, we're so glad that you are with us today on this podcast. I got a great special friend of mine, Pastor Peter Reeves. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Good to see you. Good to be here.
Good to see you. Well, tell the folks, what do you do? What do you do, man?
Man, I am a youth pastor, and I love my job.
Yes, we love youth pastors. I'm a youth pastor as well, so we love it. Hey, man, where are you youth pastoring at?
I'm at Battle Creek First Assembly in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Battle Creek.
Yep, serving under Pastor Stephen Amaro.
He's a good dude.
It's good, man.
He's a spiritual daddy of mine, so I appreciate it. Yeah. How long have you been there?
I've been there for 2 years and 1 week.
2 years and 1 week? So we're like coming up on anniversary.
This is anniversary. I'm hoping the church gives that love offering.
I love it. Got to get that offering, man. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Hey, man, so we are excited. Today, Peter, you're going to be talking about four ways about personal growth, right?
Yeah.
And how to grow that, how to groom that. And I love that. So hit us right off the bat with that first point, man.
Yeah, man, this is something, a topic that's super near and dear to my heart. And, man, I love the idea of personal growth. And we know that, man, leaders cannot take people where they've never been.
Wow.
And so, man, to lead healthy, you've got to first be healthy. Mm-hmm. And, man, this is something that I focus a ton on in my life. And so kind of the first thing that I'm always thinking about when it comes to personal growth is a consistent prayer structure, right? Like, I know we're pastors. We hear that all the time, like prayer, mm-hmm. prayer. But, like, man, this is something that's so big for me, and I kind of built my ministry and everything I do on this quote I heard by D.L. Moody, and it says, "No man is greater than his prayer life."
Wow.
And so that to me is like, I mean, everything, and I think about that because in me is a desire to be great, man, and I got to check myself and say, man, I have to consistently bring myself to my knees. And so kind of the prayer structure that I use, man, is I know this is kind of basic, but the ACTS model, have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. I think we talked about it before, yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely love that, man. The adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication.
Wow.
It just kind of sets me up for my day and makes me get that time away, you know, on the mountain, if you will, hearing from God for what needs to happen for the day. And so, man, I love that. And I heard another preacher this week kind of talk about ministry as a divine partnership, right?
Wow.
And so he was saying, listen, like, what we forget a lot of times as pastors is that ministry is a divine partnership. And if you're in a partnership with someone, you often have to consult them.
Wow.
And so, man, that's where my heart is. And
yeah.
I'm finding that my best ideas, my best ministry, my best sermons are all flowing from that place of
that prayer
partnering
life.
With the Holy Spirit.
That's
so,
good, man.
The first one is definitely that, the consistent prayer structure.
Yeah. I love that because when you talk about the Acts, you said it's what is the four things again? Give it to him.
Adoration.
One more time. Adoration.
Confession.
Thanksgiving.
Supplication.
Yeah. Those are the things, man. I think when you think about that, setting up your prayer life, and I love how you said some of your greatest sermons come from your prayer life, come from your devotional life.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we as pastors, if we're not careful, the only time we can study the scripture is when we're writing for a message.
Right.
But if we study scripture just for ourselves, I think sometimes a message can come from that.
Yo, absolutely. You know? And that's the thing, right? Like, the best sermons come when you're preaching from your weakness, right? You'll always have material when you're preaching.
Good.
And I don't do my devotions to get sermons. I do my devotions, and in spite of that, sometimes, or in the midst of that, sermons come from that.
Sermons
I'm telling you, they're the best ones. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that speak to people, and they're the ones that people's hearts are touched by because it's coming from a real place. And another one of my favorite speakers says, a message born in the head will only reach the head, but a message born in the heart reaches the heart. And yeah, man.
A message born in the heart will reach the heart.
Exactly.
But a message that's only born in the head will just reach the head.
Exactly.
Wow, who said that?
D.L. Moody.
D.L. Moody, man. Yeah. He's coming with him today. Coming with him, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Awesome. So that first point is a consistent prayer life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Consistent prayer life. And that's so powerful.
Yeah. Man. And then the second thing I would say that's super important, and this is another thing we always talk about in ministry, but honestly, we need to keep talking about it, is consistent accountability. Okay,
consistent
and so, yeah, absolutely. And so this is kind of like,
That's interesting you say consistent.
Yeah, not just accountability, consistent accountability. Yeah. And to be honest with you, weekly accountability.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this is a little bit more deeper than, hey man, how are you doing? It's, mm-hmm. man, what's going on with your life? Someone who can kind of reach in and see the deepest, darkest parts of your life, yeah. who can cut into you a little bit mm-hmm. and say, hey man, you're not as awesome as you thought you are, you know, or think
right,
you are.
Right,
and so,
right.
Man, I think the reason we got to keep talking about this is because a pastor that I truly admire who has such a ton of clout in ministry fell this week and out of his ministry.
Yeah.
And man, just an incredible man of God, and he made some bad decisions. And as I'm looking at the story and as it's all unveiling, I'm starting to say, man, who was checking up on this guy?
Right.
He was so busy investing in... and pouring into other people, but who was investing and pouring into him, and who was cutting into him, and who was encouraging him? And so I think that's something that we have to consistently keep talking about. And as leaders, right, we don't really like accountability because it makes us vulnerable,
right?
But like that vulnerability is where I believe, man, that our true strength comes from, right? Like he says, it's only in your weakness, right? Exactly. So,
well, you think about it, it's almost as if accountability or vulnerability brings accountability.
Exactly.
When you can be vulnerable with somebody, you know that they're going to hold me to that accountability.
Exactly.
And that vulnerability, that it breeds accountability.
I love it, man. And so like my heart is that consistent accountability for myself is something I don't take lightly. And I put it on my calendar, right? Like anything you put on your calendar as a pastor, you're going to get done.
If you don't put it on the calendar, it's not getting done.
Exactly.
If it's not on the calendar, especially in our line as pastors and leaders, if it's not on my calendar, I'll forget birthdays. Like my brother's birthday was in my calendar. And I was like, oh man, his birthday's here. Let me call him.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those things. You if you're not, and my dad used to beat me up about the calendar. He's like, just put it in your phone. I'm like, sorry, Dad, I forgot. You forget everything. Right. It's not your calendar.
Right.
The calendar's so good.
And for me, like, the reason I put on my calendar is because I want accountability. Like, this is not my mentors and people in my life calling me. This is me calling them.
Yeah.
It's like, man, here's where I'm at. You know? Yeah. And in the midst of that, they're able to talk to me.
You
got to
seek it out.
Yeah, you have to seek it out. And if you don't, then you won't get accountability. And you'll think you could do it on your own. And, I mean, this man of God who... struggled, man. Like, I just, nobody would ever pick him. So it can, all of us are susceptible to those, you know, temptations and things like that. And so, a consistent accountability, that's kind of the second thing that's really important to me in my personal growth strategy. The third thing is this, is a clear understanding of rest. Now, this is interesting to talk about. It's kind of my favorite thing to talk about because people will say, well, I sleep 8 hours a night. And that's great, and that's super important.
That's not rest.
That's not rest.
That is
not rest.
That's sleep.
That's part of a solid sleep schedule, which is great.
Right, right.
But that's not rest. And man, the rest I'm talking about is intentional mental rest. You know, when you're not thinking about ministry, when you're not thinking about what you have to do, this is a space where leaders are able to dream and vision comes alive.
Wow.
Right? Where you're able to clear your mind and you're able to just, you know, for me, it gets a little weird. I'm not going to lie, where I'm just sitting in my office and I just like at home and I'm just staring at the wall. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm at home in my office and I'm just kind of not thinking about anything, and I'm just saying, God, where are you? You know what I mean? And it's not even like I'm not praying, I'm not saying words out loud, but I'm just kind of taking it in.
Yeah.
And man, when I'm resting like this, I often see the ministry do things that I could never even
imagine.
Vision's
birthed out of it, yeah.
Dude, it's so cool, man. And it's in those spaces, too, that everything in my life gets better. I'm talking about my finances. I'm able to see some things that I think I should do there with my relationship with my wife, some things I should do there. And it's just that intention, a clear understanding of what rest actually means and getting that consistently every week.
Good.
You know, before I used to, when I was coming up in ministry, I would still even consider myself coming up. I would kind of say, man, it's important for me to let everybody know that I'm working extremely hard day and night, not getting any rest.
Yeah, that church ministry. It's that, I feel like we were talking about that the other day. It's that old school mentality.
Exactly.
When you work.
Exactly. I got that Royal Ranger patch that's like never sleeps, you know. But man, I found myself like getting like just so exhausted, not being able to pay attention to other things in my life that matter because I didn't have a good understanding of what it meant to actually rest. You know?
Yeah, and I feel like too with that rest, man, that can come back almost into that second point to where if you're not getting that rest, you'll see where you start to fall in your accountability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll see where you start to slack off in your prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see that rest is such a important part of of your personal growth because it allows you to realign. It allows you to step back, look at the big picture, and say, okay, where am I missing it? Yeah. Where am I not hitting it? You know, am I struggling in my devotional life? Am I doing some things that I haven't talked to an accountability partner about? You know, because I'm keeping those things. But when you just go, that's when temptation comes. That's when we're at our weakest points, you know.
Yeah.
That's when we don't allow ourselves to rest and we try to work ourselves to the bone. Because that's what culture does, right?
Right.
Culture says, who takes vacation?
Exactly.
Why would you take a vacation? You lazy? You know,
exactly.
but we have to understand that if rest is healthy and it's biblical, it's needed for a good leader.
Yeah,
it's needed for good leadership.
Another youth pastor that I follow and really respect, his name is Joseph Kellogg.
Yeah.
He says, when you're tired, you're tempted. And that's always the formula
to
losing, right? When you're tired, you're tempted. And man, I just value that so much. And so I'm going to make sure that I put rest in my schedule. And again, it's going on my calendar, because if it's not on your calendar, you're not going to do it. So
exactly.
A clear understanding
rested.
Of rest. And then here's the last one. And this one is, I mean, this is just purely out of me. Just, you know, maybe it'll resonate with some of you. Maybe some of you are like, man, I don't know. But this is my last personal growth kind of part of my strategy for me is realistic inspiration.
Realistic
inspiration, right?
Realistic.
And so, like,
that sounds like a bummer to me. I'm just like, man, I want to dream.
Right. And I love dreaming, man. I love, you know, I ordered 2,000 life books. I'm like, we're going to reach the city. You know, I'm that guy. I'm like, you know what? We're going to have 5,000 students tonight. We've never had 5,000 students. Our youth ministry is a group of like 80, okay? And so, but I love the dream, but I'm finding that in this personal growth journey that I'm on, man, like I'm looking at people who are a step above me, right? Like they might be one or even two steps above me in this ministry world. And those are the people that I'm following and I'm listening to, and I'm really starting to get a good understanding of what's going on in their day to day and their ministries and their volunteers, because that's just, I want to just take one step forward.
One
you know
step
what I mean?
Forward, yeah.
And sometimes when you create big dreams and you get crazy, you know, expectations.
Pentecostal
like,
dreams.
Right.
Evangelical
they overwhelm
dreams.
You though, right?
Yeah.
Am I like they
yeah.
overwhelm you and you're like, man, I'll never be able
I'll
to
never
do that.
Be able to get to there.
But sometimes when you just have a realistic expectation, you can say, or realistic inspiration, you're able to say, man, I could get there. And that motivates me more than the big dream. You know what I mean? And it just helps you create some steps that will get you to the next position that you want to be at. And then from there, you can find someone else who inspires you, who's maybe one or two steps ahead of
yeah.
you. And personal growth, man, like this is all part of just one flowing journey, because with those realistic expectations, you're not overwhelming yourself. You're not exhausting your mental capacity. You're simply saying, what are the steps that I need to take to get one step further?
One step better.
Yeah.
One step better.
Yeah.
That's good. One day better. One step better.
Yeah.
I love that, man. Realistic inspiration.
Yeah.
Realistic. And the thing is, I think sometimes, like you said, we can dream big, and then
yeah.
you got to think about where your team's at too.
Right.
Because you can dream so big that you put your team in one, you either put your team in fear.
Yeah.
Like, how are we ever going to get this done?
Right.
Or two, they just, they're like, oh, this guy's crazy.
Exactly.
This guy's crazy. We're not doing that.
Exactly.
You kidding me? We got 5,000 kids. We can't get 50 in the door.
Exactly.
We're trying to get 50, and he's got 1,000.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Let's get 20. Let's,
right.
you know, let's
Which
get
I've been
20
there,
more.
Right? Like, how do we even get 20, right?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
how do we get 20 more?
Right.
Like, let's. And I love that, because that's realistic inspiration. That's good, man.
Yeah.
When you think about that and you talk about that, because I think sometimes we want to dream for the hills, right? We
yeah.
want to dream for the hills because we believe in big, big. Like, we don't want to have too small goals.
Right.
Because we believe in a big God that can do big things.
Right.
But we also have to understand that there's a process, right?
Right.
There's
Absolutely.
Process.
Absolutely.
There's steps. You don't go from the first floor to the 100th floor
exactly.
without going past the other 99, you know,
exactly.
the other 98. So
love that.
You have to realize we have to pass all these floors. And I think, for whatever reason, we think we can have this microwave ministry.
Yeah.
Right, microwave ministry, to where we can just pop up and one day like 1,000 kids are just gonna walk
right.
in because we do some event, you know,
right.
and that's easy to do, you know. And I'm not saying that can't happen, but that's not you shouldn't plan for that. You
right.
should plan for the process.
Exactly.
You should plan for okay,
plan
how,
for the process. I love that.
You should plan for how
like
are we
that.
Gonna process the. I mean, if you know the question that's really big in this office here and around is. is I remember Josh asked you guys the question out, if you could want to tap into this a little bit. He said, what would you do if 100 kids walked into your youth ministry today?
Right.
Another 100 kids. Like, what would you do?
And discovering that process as a youth pastor is super important to, you got to develop that right now, because what happens when 1,000 walk in? And, you know, and it's like, if you don't sit down and really think about that, process, man, you're missing it, man. The process is what we see it all through scripture. We even see it in society, right? There's a process to businesses and different organizations developing. And so I want to dream for the hills and run for the hills, but I also definitely want to plan for the process. And here's the thing. When you plan for the process and you start to hit those smaller, obtainable goals, you continue to build your confidence, right?
Yeah, you build momentum.
And that confidence allows you to have faith for the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes what happens is when we have faith for the 100th floor, when we're on the first floor and we don't make it, our faith starts to diminish. We start to lack vision. We start to lack dreams. Yeah. But if I'm just able to get to floor two, then my confidence begins to build.
It's doubled.
Exactly.
You're doubled, right?
Dude,
there.
Man, I love that. And so realistic inspiration is super important for me. And I'm still listening to the guys that are way ahead of me. Mm-hmm. But most of my time is spent listening to the guys that are one or two steps ahead of me.
Yeah, that's good.
And man, it's awesome. So it's really helped me. And my personal growth journey, dude, is something that I take seriously. It's something I think about every day. Mm-hmm. I use several different things to just help me stay on that path. But these are the four things that I'm always thinking about.
So good, man.
To help me become the person, the leader I want to be.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Thank you so much, bro. Yeah. I appreciate you being here with us, being on the podcast with us.
Yeah.
It won't be the last time.
Man, this is super dope, bro. And, man, I'm just so honored. I thank you guys. And,
appreciate you being here, man. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. We really appreciate you guys listening. Hey, if you would do me a favor, if you've enjoyed this podcast, would you go ahead, like us, share us on your social media pages. Go ahead, leave a review, leave a comment for us, because we really want to impact leaders and invest in leaders. And so this is something that you have been encouraged
by. Thanks again for taking time to grow as leaders. We are looking forward as we continue to build our culture in student ministry.
Leave a comment, leave a like, and we really appreciate it. We'll see you guys next time. Take care.